Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Today we're talking about momentum, March Madness, my favorite time of year. Do you have spiritual momentum? You know, growing up in my family, at the time that I was learning how to drive, about 15 years of age, there were three cars that my parents owned. One of them I really preferred more than the others. It was a manual stick shift Toyota pickup, and it had momentum. First gear took you up to about 15 miles per hour. You could put the clutch in and went up to second gear. You just felt the momentum go. It was awesome. Third gear was around 25 miles per hour. Fourth gear, you were humming along. You were moving in that pickup. I looked cool when I had hair even. It's awesome. Then there were some other cars my parents owned. There was a 1984 Ford Tempo that did not have momentum. And then the other car was a Dodge Caravan Baby Blue. No momentum in that car. So you can imagine which car I was, you know, when I asked to drive that first year, which car I got. You got it. It was either the Tempo or it was the Dodge Caravan. Man, I love momentum. It feels good. And I think it's really important that we should feel momentum in our spiritual walk, because God wants to give it to us in the gift of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to call, gather, move us in the gospel. Momentum. As I studied Moses this last week, we're going to look at him this morning. I studied his life a little bit. We have the death of Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter 34. I think Moses, above all things, knew what momentum was about. He knew that God was moving him for a purpose, for a reason. At times in Moses' life, I think he was in first gear. Now, you and I would not call this momentum, actually. We would call this stalling. But Moses saw it as momentum. First gear for Moses would be a time like the time when he went to Midian. You see, he killed someone in Egypt and ran away to this distant land called Midian, and he was there 40 years. Now, Midian was way different than Egypt. In Egypt, he was eating caviar, he was going to Burger King, he was eating out, he had the best of education, he had amazing clothes. Midian was different. He was there 40 years. His best conversations were with sheep and goats. How would you like that? We call that stalling, not Moses. Moses knew God was moving him in some way. I think Moses knew that God was developing patience in him and leadership abilities down the road. He waited 40 years in Midian. Moses loved momentum, and he knew God was moving him in powerful ways. There were times in Moses' life that he moved to second gear. Now, when I explain second gear for Moses, you're probably going to say, that's not momentum. For Moses, he saw it differently. Moses had struggles. After the time of Midian, he goes back to Egypt, you know the story pretty well, and he encounters the Pharaoh out on the banks of the Nile River. The Egyptians worshiped the Nile. They got the Nile was a crystal ball for what they should do for the next year and the days to come. There was Pharaoh out by the Nile River, and Moses said, we're going to turn this to blood. My God is going to turn this to blood. Let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Moses then came back with these other plagues, the gnats and the frogs and the locusts and the boils and all these sorts of things. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and finally there's the last plague that we all know about, the death of the firstborn if the blood wasn't on the doorposts. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened even more, and he pursued after Moses. Now, you and I call that a struggle. Have you had a struggle? When we have struggle with a Pharaoh-like person that is tough in our life, we shut down. When we have an encounter with a Pharaoh-like person or situation, We run in the opposite direction, not Moses. Moses saw God was up to something. God was moving him. God was bringing momentum. And in the struggles in his life in Egypt, Moses was able to unify himself with God's people. There was a purpose there. God was moving. That would help later on in the story down the road. At times, Moses moved to third gear. I'm going to suggest third gear. When I explain it to you, you're probably going to think, what a waste. That's not momentum. Well, Moses experienced the whining and complaining of the people. Some of them didn't like the bread, the manna. That literally means in Hebrew, what is this? That is like not a compliment. Can you imagine at going to a restaurant saying, what is this? That's their first response to the manna. Some of them didn't like the water. The water back in Egypt tastes sweeter. There wasn't fluoride in the water. They wanted to go back. All of them wanted to go back to Egypt for the pistachios and the delicacies back in Egypt. You know, when we experience complaining or critique or whining from members of our family or even in our own congregation, you know what we oftentimes do? We just shut it off and conflict happens. Sides develop. There's a person on one side that thinks it should be this way. Another person thinks that it should be that way. And things just shut down. And there's no progress. No momentum. Not Moses. Moses saw that God was up to something even in the complaining. That God was developing a deeper trust of the Israelites in what God would do down the road, that they could put their trust completely in God. Moses was a master in momentum. Then there was fourth gear. Now, when I explain fourth gear, it's found here in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now, you understand what I'm doing. I'm doing a rhetorical device here this morning, but I believe this is true. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, what we described here, none of us would describe this as momentum, would you? Death. He dies. Pastor, what are you talking about? There's no momentum here. He's dying. He can't do anything. He can't accomplish his goals. He can't jump up and do anything. But do you hear the attitude of Moses in Deuteronomy 34? Keep it in your heart. Here it is. Moses goes up Mount Nebo. This is a place in the Middle East where you can overlook, it's kind of like Mary's Peak, you can overlook the entire valley of the Holy Land. On a clear day, they say, you can see Jericho, you can see the city gates of Jerusalem. And the text says, verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses died, he was 120 years old. His eyes were undimmed, and his strength unabated. That's what your translation there says. I want to tell you what that really is actually saying. It's not that. It's actually saying that Moses was fertile. What the suggestion here in the text is, and you see it with the next generation coming, Moses saw the momentum of God even in his death. That down in the valley, there'd be generations to come that would live in a new kingdom. A kingdom of God's righteousness and peace. A kingdom of God's justice. And as Moses looked down, perhaps he even saw that God would send his own son in that city, Jerusalem. And on that cross, Jesus would die. That's fourth gear. Moses in his death is very optimistic. He sees a bright future coming. As we read the book of Exodus and we see these things of Moses, I think we come to the conclusion that nothing really good happened. There's stalling in Midian. There's conflict. There's disagreement. There's personal struggle with a very rude Pharaoh. And there's death in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses saw it he saw it completely different. He saw God was doing something spectacular and moving him. Here's a personal question. How's God moving you? What's your momentum? How's the Holy Spirit moving you? As a pastor, I want to share a couple stories here this morning in which I was deeply inspired by a couple of people. where I saw that there was really no reason to be to see momentum, but people expressed momentum. Here's one. This afternoon, I'm actually driving out to Sweet Home. Sweet Home, Bethel Lutheran Church in Sweet Home. Anyone ever worshipped at Bethel Lutheran Church in Sweet Home? I'll bet you Rick has. Okay, Bethel Lutheran Church. I had an interchange with some of the leadership of that church, and I said, I'll come out for one Sunday and just help out. Next Sunday, there's another pastor coming, so this is just one particular Sunday that I'm helping out. And in the exchange, I talked to the leadership, and I was expecting many of the people there, the few people that I engaged with, to kind of not be expressing momentum. The reason why I heard that was, or felt that way, was because this congregation worships seven people every Sunday. Seven. Their building is the same size as Peace, pretty much. And they have a parsonage, by the way. Their property is going up for sale. It is up for sale. Just about 20 years ago, they were worshiping quite a few people. Lots of baptisms, lots of confirmations happening in Sweet Home Bethel. I was expecting people to hear, oh, momentum is just kind of, it's gone. I didn't hear that. The leaders wrote back and said, we're excited for what God is going to do in our church family. They saw momentum in that moment. Then I saw it again in someone that I met with this last week, a dear friend here at our church, Joel Bond. Joel's very close to dying, as I'm sure many of you heard in my email. And so I went up and saw Joel Thursday, and we had a great discussion. He was able to speak with me, and we talked about a Savior, what a Savior does, what a Savior can do after you die, that he still moves, and he brings momentum even after we die, was the language that I used in our conversation. And Joel said to me, he said, I believe that, Pastor. I need that. I left that night, and then I went back up yesterday, and I asked his wife, Audrey, how things were going. She said, you know, we had a weird conversation Friday. I was really shocked by what my husband said, Joel. Joel turned to his daughter and said, Lisa, you're going to die. Wow. She said, yeah. That's true. There was a pause. Then Joel turned to his wife, Audrey. Said, Audrey, you're going to die. And Audrey said, yeah, that's true. And then there was a pause. And then what I'm told is that Joel said, but I'm going to go first. And it's going to be okay. Because I'm in the right hands of a Savior that can care for me. That is expressing momentum, even in death. Friends, today God wants you to know that He's a God of momentum no matter where we are in life. And so when His Son came on Transfiguration Sunday with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James and John up on the mountaintop, He didn't stay there. Jesus came down the mountain, moved to give you momentum, to die on the cross so that you could have momentum for every part, every aspect of your life. And Jesus has moved, and He's here today. Here at this church, we believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ, in the body and blood, His body and blood. He's here. Are you like Moses right now? Are you feeling stalled 40 years in Midian? He's here to bring momentum to you in His Spirit. Are you feeling struggled today? Is there a Pharaoh-like person giving you difficulty? Jesus is here to strengthen you with His body and blood. Is there conflict? Are there sides developing? Jesus is here to unify, to bring you together. Are you facing death or a health concern? Jesus says this, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood will have everlasting life. Momentum. That is what your Savior gives you. So if I'm taking a bet what kind of car Moses would drive if he was living today, it wouldn't be a Dodge Caravan. It wouldn't be a Ford Tempo. It would be a Toyota pickup, manual with stick shift. Amen.